It's not about being a star. If it's about being a star, you won't ever be happy because stars are like a dime a dozen. Like you could be a star today and not tomorrow. But if theater is what you love, if performing is what you love, you will find work.
Welcome to Better Together with Kosti Epifontsev, a podcast on parenting, business, and living life intentionally. We're here every week to bring you thoughtful conversation on making your own path to success, challenging the status quo, and finding all the ways we're better together. Here's your host, Kosti Epifontsev.
Hey, y'all, this is Costa, and today I'm here with my guest, Jennifer Welch, Artistic Director for Cookeville Children's Theater. Throughout her tenure as a teacher, director, and performer, Jennifer has directed over 30 musicals, including The Wizard of Oz, Disney's Beauty and the Beast, Annie, The Sound of Music, and most recently, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Jennifer is the recipient of multiple Broadway World Regional Awards for Best Director, Best Choreographer, and Best Musical. In 2015, Jennifer was selected for special recognition as one of Tennessee's outstanding arts educators by the Tennessee Governor's School for the Arts, and most recently accepted the Sarah Spencer Child Drama Award on behalf of Cookeville Children's Theater. Today, we're taking you center stage for a conversation about performing arts, the ins and outs of directing a theatrical production, and what to do if you don't get a callback. Jennifer, let's start from the beginning. What was your first experience with theater and performance?
This is one of my favorite stories to tell, and I tell it at every audition that we hold. My first audition that I went to was for Cookeville Children's Theater. So I come from a long line. Lots of people worked really hard to build the organization. But I was a sixth grader at Sycamore Elementary School. 11 of my friends auditioned with me. 11 people from my school made it and I didn't. I was the that didn't get in. So like I really do get it when there's 200 kids there and I know probably 100 of them are not going to get an opportunity this time. But I can really safely say that sticking with it, every role is not right for you. Mm-hmm. Every role is not right for me. Every role is not right for someone else. And if you stick with something long enough, you'll find your place, especially in the theater. There's so many different things that you can get involved with and you can enjoy about the art itself.
Sure. When did you know that you wanted to pursue a lifelong career in performing arts? And what was kind of like your starting point?
Well, when I was in high school, I'd always sung in chorus, but I started to go see the shows. And I can remember walking into Dr. Kathy Ligon. She was Miss Ligon at the time, but she was the speech and debate coach. And I walked into her room and I said, I really would like to be on speech team. And she looked at me like I was crazy. I'd never met her before. I'd introduced myself. And she was like, okay, go to a tournament. So I did. I did horribly the first time. Horrible, horrible performance. But she let me be on the team. And I started competing in duet acting with a good friend of mine. And we were doing a piece from Jake's Women by Neil Simon. And there was just a minute that I lost myself completely. And after we were finished, he had done theater for a long time. He looked at me and he said, did that feel different? And I said, yes. It felt totally different. And he was like, that's the best I've ever seen you do this piece. And it's really that feeling. And it's hard to describe. It was just completely losing myself in someone else's world. I love that about theater. I love that it lets you experience different realities in so many ways.
How has theater and specifically the Cookeville Children's Theater changed since you started working there in 2002?
I would say it's changed a lot. Just the community itself has grown. And so with the community growing, I feel like we've grown as well. I think more than anything, like I've changed really since 2002. I was kind of a baby when I started working for CCT, like really a baby. I went to school at Belmont for musical theater, ended up getting married that next year. Belmont just wasn't my fit. I then transferred to MTSU, but my husband got a chance to move here where I was from with his current job. So I came here, it was during the summer, and someone asked me to do something with children's theater, mm-hmm. and I did. And that's kind of how this job presented itself. We have a great board now. There's a man named John Beal who came to a show randomly. He was the hospital's attorney for a long time, and he said, I want to be involved in this. So he's been our board president for several years. But I would say, like, he really pushed me to believe more in myself because he really was very encouraging to me.
On a larger scale, do you think that where we were in like the 1960s and 70s with regards to theater. And now we're having shows like Hamilton, which, you know, you would never see that 50, 60 years ago. What change specifically do you think is happening in the theater community?
I think that it's just people growing. My favorite quote is a Stella Adler quote, and it's, "Growth as an actor and as a human being are synonymous." And I think that over the course of time, when you work in the arts, you're exposed to so many different kinds of people. And especially for me, being exposed to a lot of different families and children, I see that my life and my little circle is not all there is out there. So I think that in general, having more information, we're able to look up anything we want to look up. We're able to research anything we want to research. And so people know more and people accept more and people understand more than they did 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Has that same type of transition, has that applied to the children's theater and working with kids over the last, 20 years now?
I'm not old enough to have worked for 20 years with anything, but yes, I think it has. I definitely think that as I've gotten older, I understand a little bit more about where they're coming from. And the older I get, the more I realize just how much everything I say matters to them at different places in their lives. Things that I don't even remember saying. I've had kids come up to me and say, you know, when you said this right here, that really made me feel A, B, C, and D. Most of the time it's good. Occasionally there's, you remember that time you told me this, you know, and I'm just, I'm so sorry. But yeah, I mean, I think that definitely me knowing more and learning more about the world around me has helped that.
So typically, how many people audition for a play that you guys put on?
We typically see about 200 who come in and audition, and that's from grades 4 through 12. So it's pretty evenly split. It used to be that there were younger children mostly. Now we have a really strong high school program as well, and that's been a real boost for our program because we're able to do maybe more challenging pieces, which is really nice. But we usually try to cast between 80 and 100. Sometimes it's 60. It's a tough process, casting. It's my least favorite part.
Well, I mean, I'm sure every single time that you have to tell somebody no, you remember how you felt during your first auditions. But I will say, though, I mean, I think you can relate better to the people that may not get the part and then hope to see them back at later plays.
Right. And that's what I always say. And I do always remember faces. We usually have the kids, they fill out an audition form and they bring a picture. And so that helps me put a face to a name. But I notice when a kid comes back the next year and auditions and I think, you know, that kid must really want to be here. But yeah, casting is really tough. But at the same time, this whole business is really tough. It doesn't stop when you're an adult. There have been things as an adult I've auditioned for and really wanted and haven't gotten the part. It hurts no matter how old you get.
So you've casted your 80 to 100 people for the play. Take us through the steps of directing and producing a performance from the beginning to the end.
Well, so first we select a show, and typically Michael Schott, who's our musical director, and I sit down and look at kind of what we've got coming up. We don't try to precast, but we don't want to say we're going to do Hamilton and not have any strong male leads to choose from. So we select a show, and then I submit a budget to my board. And I go and request a contract from the publisher, which sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it takes a little bit to get a contract back. And then you obtain the rights. I go through the hiring process. I usually direct, but then I hire like a choreographer or a lighting designer, sound designer, costume designer. We have production assistants. So there's all of that aspect. The planning is a huge, huge part of the process, even before casting. Once we cast the show, I typically spend a lot of time doing that just because with that many, it's a lot easier on the front end to have everything kind of organized and laid out. And we do double casts sometimes, especially the younger children. We'll have kind of a company that does all the shows. And then we have our supporting cast who maybe is doubled or even this last time tripled so that everybody gets a chance to perform. And then there's promotion, holding auditions. That's always fun. And then we do rehearsals. And rehearsals are something that you can kind of break up into groups. We do music rehearsals, choreography rehearsals, staging rehearsals. Then we have rehearsals that are called cleaning rehearsals. And that's where we stop and start and fix and then running rehearsals where we try to go without stopping and the director and the music director take notes.
So a couple of questions on that.
Okay.
When you guys are doing the choreography, I can see, okay, you pick a show that you want to license, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the songs are going to be what the songs are, you know, on Broadway. But do you guys emulate the choreography as well? So like the way that they dance on Broadway, you're going to teach the same type of dancing and movement to the kids at the children's theater?
I would say that it's very much inspired by the original choreographer. But usually when I'm choreographing, I don't usually sit down and like study it and try to do the exact thing. But typically, I feel like when it was done in its original glory, that was probably what the intent of the writer was. That was part of that. So it's great to get a good sense of what someone else did. And then you can kind of put your own spin on it. So I would say it's an inspired thing, but it's not necessarily a copy. And there have been times when I've done stuff that's totally different than the Broadway show. And that's fun too. Scary, but fun.
Well, and that's kind of the point that I was trying to make is, you know, when you do sort of diverge from the original work and you put not just a little bit of spin, but a lot of spin on it and be able to exist in that environment, hope that people like it, you know, that's a lot of pressure as a director, right?
It is a lot. It's always a lot of pressure. Anytime you put anything, and I feel like every kind of artist feels that way. Mm-hmm. Anytime you put your art on display, you're asking for lots of things.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And criticism is part of it, but you can adjust and you can make changes and you may not. It's an interesting process. It takes a lot of humility.
So what about the set? Because there's a big difference between The Wizard of Oz and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. How do you guys just repaint the whole thing or just hire local contractors to rebuild it?
Well, sometimes we do hire local contractors to build. When we did High School Musical a few years ago, we did hire a construction company to come in. And actually my husband and I sat down and I said, I really want this and I want these levels and I want this. And he does some drafting at his job. So he worked up some plans and we hired this great company that came in and built it and we painted it. Now, on the flip side, that's a lot of work and we used it for the show and it was great, but then we haven't really used that except for scrap lumber.
Right.
So sometimes we rent a set from another company. And so like for Hunchback at Cookeville High School, a 53-foot truck pulled in. We unloaded all the pieces to the set. And then we actually did have a construction company come in and put it together. So we do, you know, spend the money in rental versus spending the money in materials and labor and other ways. So,
okay, picture this. You're sitting at home, you're watching Disney Plus, Hamilton musical, obviously. From that point to the time that you wrap a show, how long is that period of time?
Well, it depends. At Children's Theater, we typically have about a 3-month process. We audition in August. We go up in November. Now, for the show that I direct for the high school in the spring, I'm working for them. And we typically start in January and end in April or May. So it's kind of a semester, about the same amount of time, just a little bit longer. But the high school has so many things going on that it allows all of the kids to be involved in multiple activities without missing too much. Yeah.
Are they all children actors or do you also have adult actors and are they all amateurs or are they professionals? Do they get paid?
Well, our cast are made up of children who come and audition. It could be children who've done professional acting. Can be children who have not done professional acting. We do not pay children to act in our shows. Typically, we don't have adults in our performances because there are so many great theaters in town that we kind of feel like our niche and our mission is about giving kids the opportunity to be on stage. We do pay the artists who work. So we pay a lighting designer, we pay a sound engineer, we pay a stage manager, a music director, a choreographer, director. We pay production assistants who come in and they kind of do a lot of things, kind of a catch-all. They might do some costuming, they might do some organizing, they might do some assistant directing, but they're somebody that's learning or wanting to learn more about it. And a lot of time our alumni who are local or even the ones that have gone on to work professionally, if they're in town for a short period of time, I'll pull them in and say, hey, you want to work for us for a little bit?
Yeah.
So that's been pretty cool too.
How do you fund this big operation?
Well, it's challenging. Production typically costs between $50,000 and $80,000 to produce. So one show things like rights and royalties, it's 12 grand just to do the shows, which we do a long run. We do 20-ish shows.
Okay.
That's part of the reason why it costs so much. To fund our performances, we do rely on ticket sales. Our education programs bring in some funding, but we really like to use those as a way to reach out to the community and not to make money. Recently, we've done some grants, which that's something new that I've kind of gotten into. And that's been very beneficial. Absolutely. And very helpful. But ticket sales typically cover our costs and fundraising.
There you go. So you've been an artistic director for 14 seasons.
Yes.
What's the difference between having a good show and a great show?
Polish and professionalism, I would say, are what makes the difference. And when I say polish, I mean, are your transitions clean from one scene to the next? Are your lighting cues clean from one scene to the next? Are the actors consistent? But subjectively, I would say that it's more a heart thing. I really find that the best shows, when I look back, the shows that I feel like were my best work were shows where there was a really great collaborative spirit, not just with the adults, but with the kids that were involved, especially the older kids. And with that, I mean, collaborative spirit by saying that the best idea in the room is everybody's favorite idea. There's no I in team. Those are the shows that always end up being the most special and the most special to watch because everyone is so invested. And so for me, the difference between a good show and a great show is just good collaboration. If you're collaborating with great people, you're going to have a great show.
Can you maybe talk a little bit about what show that was for you where you just felt like everything clicked and well, just like, this is my best work?
Dare I say, that's really hard. I'm loving the show that we're doing right now at the high school, actually. Hunchback has been a gift. It's a beautiful story. Victor Hugo is a master at writing a story. But when you add music to it and you add these great musicians that have put the score together, it's got a lot of heart. And we have a group of about 36 actors who play a lot of different roles. So all of those kids have grown a lot in the process and have been very invested. And so that's been really special to watch too. And the team that we're working with is fantastic. The orchestra's fantastic. Everyone that has walked in has given everything that they have. And so this one has really clicked for me in that way.
So society keeps changing. And obviously, kids keep changing, adults keep changing, everything's changing, right? Mm-hmm. It evolves. How has working in children's theater specifically shaped you as an artist and a director as kids change and evolve?
I think it's probably changed me personally more than it's changed me professionally. Mm-hmm. I really think that no matter how much change there is, we're all the same but different. Like we all have the same basic wants, needs, desires. We all want to be seen. We all want to be heard and we all want to be validated. And so with that, I would say maybe as a performer and a director, I'm more able to find the heart of a character because when you're telling a story, it's all about the people whose story you're telling. And so when you can really find that baseline, what does this person want? Then you can actually give the work what it deserves.
Yeah. And you said seen, heard, and validated. And I think the theater provides a safe space. The craziness that happens in the outside world is left at the door.
Correct.
And at the theater, they can just be kids. And I love that.
It is. And I do put a lot of emphasis on if you're not doing your best work, you might as well not be doing it.
Sure.
It's not worth it. In the end, it won't be worth it unless you're doing your best work. And I find that once the kids kind of get into that habit of coming in, focusing, doing their rehearsals, we actually have a lot more fun after rehearsal when things in rehearsal are really right. focused.
Yeah.
Because they feel so good about it. And they can leave everything at the door and just come do this one thing. Put your mind on something else, someone else's story for 2.5 hours.
Sure, yeah.
It's great.
It must be absolutely incredible, like for their well-being and for their mental health, maybe.
I hope so.
You know?
It's
kind
great.
Of like sports.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, it is for mine. I mean, I know that without this, I would probably go crazy because it does give me a focus for my energy and my thoughts. But yeah.
So what advice do you have for parents and children that are interested in performance? Where do you tell them to start and what should parents be prepared for?
Well, with Cookeville Children's Theater, we do have some education programs that I always say that's a great place to start, not for any other reason than to see on a small scale whether your child really enjoys it, because a production is a big commitment.
Sure.
We're going to ask you to be there a lot during Tech Week, and we're going to ask you to be at all the performances. So typically our workshops that are held in the summer are a great way to kind of get your feet wet. It's a 5-day camp. They come from morning to the evening. And then on Friday night, it culminates with a performance that they've been working on all week. And that's kind of a shortened version of what being in a big show at CPAC would feel like. I would also say that getting your kids involved in dance, if they show an interest in performing or if they're very theatrical children, dance is a great step because, well, we master walking before we master language and before we master reading. So that is the first way that really they can have that experience, that and singing. I would also say to parents that all that glitters isn't gold. Sometimes quality over quantity. You can make anything look good in pictures, but if your kid comes out and they feel good about what they've done and they can tell you things that they've learned or show you things that they've learned, that's progress. How they feel really is the key.
What if I said that there is no Cookeville Children's Theater without Jennifer Welch?
I would say that's not the case. There are a long line of people who came before me, Marge Hargrove, Bruce Anderson, Abby Crabtree, Amy Woods, Cindy Putman. I could go on, people that have poured into the organization before I was even born.
Mm-hmm.
So saying that theater is something that exists, it's been a dying art for a long time, but we've hung on this long, and I don't think it's going anywhere. It would be here no matter what.
So what are the biggest challenges in the future for CCT?
The biggest challenges, I think, for us is providing enough opportunities to keep up with the number of kids that would like to be involved, because I do think that theater is a place that everyone can find a niche, and I would love for us to grow our technical training programs. That would be something that I would love to see happen, but a lot of it's time, trying to make it all fit in and plan a season and do things well. I don't like to start things that I can't be sure I'll finish well.
Sure.
If that makes any sense.
No, it sure, it absolutely does. And I've only got 4 short questions and then
Okay. We're
going to wrap.
Okay, cool.
So what is your favorite show in the theater?
Oh.
Do you have a favorite?
I have a lot of favorites.
Well, let me just pick one, I guess.
You mentioned Hamilton. It is one of my favorites.
Mine too.
I don't look like I could rap, but I can rap, just so you know.
Okay.
Hamilton is one. I love Les Mis. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful story. I love, let's see, Beauty and the Beast. It's a good one. That's one of my favorite Disney ones just because it's a fun show. I also saw Hadestown recently, and maybe it's because it's recent, but I fell in love with that one and the music. So
Jessica and I, we go to Broadway a lot and watch plays.
Yeah.
It's a real passion of ours. And I'll be honest, one of the reasons why I was so interested in politics over the course of the last 5 years, not just because it's been a spectacle, but because I went to see Hamilton mm-hmm. on Broadway, and I had never realized that an immigrant had actually been able to make an impact in the United States.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for that show, I would have never known, because I had never learned that in high school. And, you know, I wasn't really engaged in college. So,
absolutely.
You know, you can really see how theater can change people's lives, set them on new trajectories, whatever it might be. Who's your favorite actor?
I love Patrick Page. I think he's fantastic. Bebe Neuwirth. I saw her in Chicago when I was in high school, and that was awesome. I like to watch just about any actor who's really invested, because I think you can learn a lot from any theater that mm-hmm. you watch, and you can find great things about lots of different people.
What are you most looking forward to in the upcoming season? Can we see a potential Hamilton at Cookeville Children's Theater, or are we going to need to fundraise?
Probably going to need to fundraise, and Something that people are not always aware of is that while a show is on Broadway or while it's touring, it's not available. So we can't just decide to do Hamilton and do it. And it sometimes takes years. Like Wicked has been a thing forever. It's not available to anybody but the rights holders. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things like that. And people will say, oh, you should do this show. Sometimes things that are movies are not musicals. You kind of have to pick and choose.
Last question.
Okay.
Have you ever directed somebody and just said, you know what? This person is going to be a star.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We actually have several actors. And when you say a star, we have several actors who are working professionally or studying this that I've had. Toby Davis is one of them. He came through. He actually didn't get cast the first time he tried out, which he reminds me of every time I see him. But he's in a production of Next to Normal. And a lot of them work in regional theaters. I actually recently went to New York when I saw Hadestown. I went to actually see a former student. I went with his mom to see him in a show that he was in there with his college. He's studying musical theater. So absolutely. But I always do try to tell kids that want to go into this, it's not about being a star. If it's about being a star, you won't ever be happy because stars are like a dime a dozen. Like you could be a star today and not tomorrow. But if theater is what you love, if performing is what you love, you will find work, especially if you find a technical skill that you're good at too. And that's been something that I've really enjoyed seeing those that have gone into the field. There's several that are working. There's one that's working at Six Flags. We've had some that work at Disney. It's so neat to see. They're not famous, but they're happy.
I love that.
Yeah.
So we always like to end the show on a high note. Who is someone that makes you better when you're together?
There's a lot of someones, but I would have to say professionally, Michael Show makes me better. He makes everyone better. He's our musical director at CCT, but he's also the director of the choral department at the high school. And just his ability to bring out things in young people is something that I have enjoyed watching and learning from over the years. He actually was the music director in one of the shows I was in when I was in high school. I was a senior, so we're not really that far apart in age. He was a young music guy, but seeing him work over the years, it always inspires me to be better.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Better Together with Kostya Yepifontsev. If you've enjoyed listening and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Leave us a review, or better yet, share this episode with a friend. Better Together with Kostya Yepifontsev is a Kostya Yepifontsev production. Today's episode was written and produced by Morgan Franklin. Post-production, mixing, and editing by Mike Franklin. Want to know more about Kostya? Visit us at kostyayepifontsev.com. We're better together.